The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's monstrous, monumental, more exciting than being a bug on a windshield of a speeding car Monday. You see, more exciting than being a bug on a windshield on a speeding car Monday. As we join together in the faith of the gospel, the truth delivered once and for all to the saints and for the saints to the glory of the Most High God. First up, one of the greatest lessons given under the sun, but it's not about being prosperous. It's about being moldable in the hands of the great potter. Next, we can see our situation and think, yuck. Now, why did God allow this to happen? Or we can see our situation with God in the picture and anticipate the blessing. And finally, can't we all just get along? No, we can't, because dark and light don't share the same space. We can't just get along. And neither did Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us. You can call us, 972-445-0770. If you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. She'll be very nice to you. She'll put you on hold. She'll send you over this direction. We'll talk on the phone, and we'll get you one way or another where we're trying to get you. That's one way to do it. The other way is to text. Text is cool. I mean, that's just totally awesome. If you want to text, you don't want to. Some people like to text because they don't want to get on the air, and they just want to do it all through the phone. It's like, okay, no problem. Again, we are always taking letters and answers to trivia questions. You can send them to Not a Chance It's Gonna Get Here, P.O. Box, don't even bother. Stamps should be free, I'm just saying. But the bottom line is, if you want to text 214-210-8483. Also, if you call in 972-445-0770. Also, if it's about a praise report, you can do it either way. If it's about a prayer request, either way. If you have something that you got a question about, we'll do our best to help you out with that. Or if you got an answer to trivia, we'll do our best to help you out with that. Here we go on trivia, just to start the ball rolling, and then I'm going to share some prayer requests right away. So for those that are trivia-minded, get yourself ready. Abraham asked God to spare the city of Sodom if a certain number of righteous people lived there. Wait. What was the first figure that Abraham used, or that Abraham and God engaged with? And what was the last figure? In other words, where did Abraham start and where did he finish when he was engaging with God, trying to coordinate a scenario that God would spare the city? Whoa, that's called an impromptu question. The question was supposed to go one way. I took it another way. Have fun with it. Number two, I told T, she was waiting for me before the show started. I am hurting. I didn't even do a good workout. I'm just hurting. I just have decided I'm getting more things to help my body, like rollerblades, so I can go down the hallway.
Not the rollerblades.
Yeah, I'm going to go to rollerblades. Jet-propelled rollerblades. Push a button, it pushes me.
That's a smart one.
That's the way to go about it. All right, so keep in mind the trivia question. Where did Abraham start when he was asking God to spare Sodom, and where did he finish in the number count? That's the trivia question. I'll answer that if you're not able to get to that. Three other things I want to get to, and then we'll move forward in the show. Number one, I would like everybody to pray for Dr. Chet. Dr. Chet was one of my professors, a professor in Hebrew, and he was hospitalized over the weekend. And he's such a gracious man. He's the one that's going to allow us to teach out of Genesis using his devotional book. No cost, no anything, just to be able to promote it. But he's had kind of a health issue, not COVID-related. He's just having an issue there, so just prayers for him. Number two, I need prayers for me, and the reason is because my youngest grandchild, Easton Scott's the youngest grandchild, he had a really tough night last night. That's not really the prayer request because he has up and down nights. Today, my daughter, his mom, noticed how much it impacted our eldest grandchild because she drew a little picture with a face on it with little tears on it. And it was just like so sad. So my daughter took a snapshot and sent it to us. And we just said, hey, if anything we can do, we'll do whatever it is. I don't care if we have to, you know, figure out a way to get there. Just tell us what we need to do. But I just would like prayer for Easton and for my daughter's family because I think that's tough. They go through like 3, 4, 5 days, nothing happens. Then he has a tough night, and he wasn't responding to any of the medication. They almost had to get the ambulance in and have him take him to the hospital. So it's just like, oh, that's so hard. So I feel for them. Last thing I want to say before we go into our teach is, so just pray for them. It's not, you don't have to make a big deal. Just pray for them, as I'm asking everybody. And then I just wanted to give props to our good friend Pastor Ray, who over the weekend was named one of Israel's top 50 friends in the world. How about that? They have a list they put out. They started putting out lists of evangelicals that are friends of Israel. He's on the top 50 list already because he does a lot of stuff with Israel. That's not why him and I are friends, but it doesn't hurt. So I'm going to say about that. Props to Ray. I was able to talk to him. Actually, text with him yesterday. What a great honor that is to have Israel, the city chosen by God, to have them as a nation, though now go, hey, this guy's one of our friends. I mean, that's just like, that's pretty good. He won't need a resume now that he's got that, will he? Okay. All right, let's get into one of the tough, best, most awesome teachings. And I really sense the Lord in my life saying, you're going to teach that. I have this elongated teaching on this full, like, three-pager, four-pager. We're not doing that right now, but I think that's coming sooner than you think. Here we go. Psalm 51, verse 16 through 17. Psalm 51, verse 16 through 17. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. So many people know who are Christians who have read the Bible, or maybe you're younger and you're in the Lord, and I'll tell you this if you don't know this, that Psalm 51 is often called the sinner's psalm, that in Psalm 32. Psalm 51 is all about David confessing his sin, acknowledging his unfaithfulness. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, you'll see the situation that he committed with Bathsheba, and then chapter 12, he gets confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet goes, thou art the man, and he's guilty. And he acknowledges it and he confesses it. Unlike Saul, who was the king and then got caught in his sin and was more concerned to how he would look in front of his people, David got caught in sin and said, I blew it. And you've heard me say on this show, and I'll say it to you for the rest of my life until I am gone and up in heaven with the Lord, dancing on streets of gold. If there's something that the Lord challenges you on and you're doing something wrong, just own it. Don't try and defend it. Don't try and be so smart. Don't try and do a back door with God and go, that's really justifiable, because just go, yep, I'm guilty. Guilty, guilty. It's a very simple process. Eat the pie and eat it soon. The pie called humble pie. David says in verse 16, you do not want a sacrifice or I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. The religious activities in the midst of sin are not good enough, folks. And that's what happens is people say, well, you know, say this, do this, quote this, be this, you know, all that stuff's like, that ain't going to work. And that's what verse 16 says. You don't want a sacrifice, and that's a ceremonial sacrifice. I'd give it to you. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. That's a ceremonial burnt offering. God doesn't want that. He's not interested in your religious activities. They do not impress him. He's not like, oh, look, they did this. Ooh, you know, that's not how God is. Verse 17, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and humbled spirit. And you're thinking, but that just means you come and you like kind of, you like, what's the word I'm looking for? Blob out in front of the Lord. You just like, blah. And it's like, yes, that's it. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want you to do, say, a certain amount of things or count a certain amount of things or give a certain amount of money or anything like that. None of that stuff's got to do with anything. What God wants when he confronts you with sin is for you to go, yep, I am guilty, and I just throw myself before you and ask for your mercy. Because the reason is because it acknowledges God's holiness, plus your ownership means you're not in defiance to God. You're not saying to God, no, no, no. Hey, Adam, why'd you do that? She made me do it. Hey, Eve, why'd you do that? The snake made me do it. Like, that's the wrong attitude. The attitude's got to be one of, yep, you know what, Lord? You told me not to do it, and I did it. And that was wrong. That's exactly what happened to David. And ironically, in the confrontation he had with Nathan, Nathan does this whole story about this guy and his pet sheep. And David's outraged about the sheep and is so mad about it, but he's so blinded because his own sin is 1,000 times worse. And it's like, then that's what Nathan goes, you're to do. You're the guy. Or in the King James, thou art the man. Like, wow. My point is this, a broken spirit, one that comes before the Lord and yields. It's not a matter of pride. God knows you did it. If you did it, you did it. Just own it and say, yep, without you, I'd probably be 1,000 times worse. Because that's the truth. It came from our grandparents all the way back. They've been running and hiding from God and defying and denying. And we do that too. The only redemption. Who's going to save me from this body of sin? The answer was quite clear in Romans chapter 7. Thank God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's your only answer. So if you are in something and the Lord confronts you by the Holy Spirit, you get confronted. Own it and eat the humble pie. Lay it before the Lord. Then you'll find his forgiveness is like the fresh spring or like the refreshment of water when you're in a desert, okay? All right. Abraham's dealios, he started with 50. If there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? Got God all the way down to 10. How about 10? And God said, okay. Probably could have gone lower, but he stopped there. Wasn't enough, was it? 50 and 10 were the trivia answers. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking.
Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor, and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, I figured out the only thing about that reading that Jennifer does on that's so funny is out of the whole thing, it's a script, so she reads the script. Everybody knows kind of what's going on. But the one part where she goes, and he talks a lot, it's like she's so sincere. it's like... That's the part that's not scripted as much as it is. Like, I think she's like, and he talks like a lot, you know? It's just like, yeah, that's all I got to say. What do you think of that? That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Just
put
like,
emphasis
what?
On a
yeah,
lot.
A lot. Yeah. I mean, I walk in every time I say hi to her, tell her everything that happened between when I drove in. You know, she's just probably going, okay, get to the studio, Dave. Come and keep walking, keep going that way. All right, let's get into our next trivia question. Good job, by the way. Joey and Cordy got that first one. That's a tough one, by the way, the first one. This one will be a little easier, should be a little easier. Here's the next trivia question. What type of wood did Noah use when he built the ark? What kind of wood? Okay, you can come up with a lot of answers. Don't come up with balsa wood. That's just a bad answer. Don't do that, okay? And let's see. We got a couple of things we got to cover. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget about our website. There's a couple of new things. There's new audio up there. I do the Lefty where I lost Lefty. That's up there. I was talking about my headset. And then let's do our DNA because I want to make sure we get our DNA squared away, not letting anybody miss a moment. I've told you last week. I'm telling you this week. I will tell you again next week so that you are so prepared. There's nothing that can catch you by surprise. There will be news today. There will be news tomorrow. Next week there will be news. You like that?
I like that.
I mean, you can't, you know. Like we said on Friday, is it the abominable snowman? I don't know, but there will be something. It will be coming. In the meantime, Christians need to maintain what they're made of and what they're made in, and we call that DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of Jesus and his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. Excellent job. Thank you very much, and thank you for your help, T. All right. The only other thing I want to cover, I'll cover that later. Okay, is there anything else I'm missing? Don't forget about the giving thing. That takes place on hemustincrease.org. It's like there's the part of me that thinks I like to teach on giving. I don't like to put pressure on people on giving. But if we don't get enough in the giving, then you're going to be not listening because I won't be on the air. It's pretty simple. I think we keep that pretty straightforward. All right, again, the question for trivia for those that don't know. What type of wood did Noah use when he built the ark? There is an answer, okay? Obviously, you're going to be in Genesis for those that are looking. Let's take a quick – we're going to do a kind of a helicopter viewpoint of Ruth very quickly because I just want to point a few things out that I think are worthwhile and worth noting. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. So they went – they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Okay. This is not a person who's very happy. We've got somebody calling in on the trivia questions. That's good. But this is a person that's had a tough go. And I think everybody can recognize that. Okay, you ready for the call? Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've just put money in the bank, so I think I've done pretty good.
Well, that's a good thing to be putting money in the bank. That's better than taking it out and having to give it to somebody else, I can tell you that.
Amen.
All right, my friend, we got a certain type of wood. We know it's not balsa wood. That's kind of a joke. But in regards to...
Yeah, it was, yeah. You had a lot of good floating. But
yeah, he'd be floating away, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Flyaway.
Yeah, first hoof through the wood would be over. What kind of wood did he use then?
What? Oh, was it gopher wood?
That is correct!
Oh, okay.
That
cool.
is correct!
Thanks.
See, balsa wood's the wood you use to make those little flying airplanes that are 99 cents at a toy store. So you can make
there
that.
You go.
You make the arc out of that, that's going to be a problem. So, good job, my brother.
I ask the good Lord bless your ministry. I mean, I don't do it a lot. Like I said, I do what I can once in a while, but...
Oh, well, that's
actually my boat's full too, so I need money.
Well, listen,
but, you know, I never do, but I mean, I do what I can. But you know, good Lord bless you, and I keep you going.
Thank you, my brother. Your prayers and your appreciation and your friendship are solid for me, so I love it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Bill.
All right, God bless.
Take care. God bless.
Bye. All right, so now for people that didn't get the balsa wood and the gopher, it's gopher wood. It's actually gopher wood, very hard and durable wood. Here's the funniest thing, because that was the old joke, for those of you guys remember. What was his job? He was a gopher. Did you ever hear that joke? You never heard this joke.
This
is why I can tell you these jokes, and for you, it's like, what is he talking about? And he's like, what do you mean your job was a gopher? And the guy would say, go for this, and go for that, and go for this. Gopher.
See, I had one for... Noah's Ark building wood. It's holy wood.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
That's good right there. Okay, wait, one more. What kind of lights were on the Ark? Floodlights. Oh! Okay.
I did that on purpose.
Okay. I know you did that on purpose. That's classic. All right, let's go back to Naomi. So here's the deal. And I think that people have this idea that every moment of every day, you're just going to smile as a Christian. It's like, I'm still looking for that. There's a couple of things. I mean, look, I believe that's correct, that the long-term duration walk of a Christian should be one of thanksgiving. That's what Scripture teaches. That does not mean every second of every day is as euphoric as every second prior and every second beyond. In other words, it's not like this constant fake positive, you know, listen, part of the Christian walk is the up and down. Part of the Christian walk are the trials and the struggles. In this case, Naomi, this was a terrible change of life and events. Now, the Lord had so much ordered, and what was coming was fantastic, but she wasn't there yet. We have the advantage of reading stories like this and of looking at Holy Writ the way that we do and of looking at our own lives and recognizing the testimony that some of the toughest times and the most difficult things and the most weird things that you can't even believe you went through, years later, potentially years later, can turn out to be the most amazing blessings we just never anticipated. And poor Naomi goes out there and she's, you know, she loses her husband. She loses her kids. She has a Gentile daughter-in-law. She's the only one that's sticking with her. And they're like, oh, it's Naomi. Oh, everybody, it's Naomi. She's like, call me Mara. I went out full. I went out. I had everything. I came back. I got nothing. This woman deserves, by the way, the Yiddish accent. I'm just saying. If you're going to read in scripture and insert one in, right here. Right? And she's like, the Lord is you know, this is what's happened. Right? Now, Naomi, by the way, is King David's great-great-grandma. Ruth is King David's great-grandma. And the truth is, and people don't like, but this is the truth. You can't change scripture. Who did Naomi blame? She blamed God. Was she wrong? Yes. Was God so mad that he wiped her out? No. That's not what happened. You know, we talk about Joseph. I just want to point this out because this is worthwhile. In the Psalms, it talks about Joseph having an iron around his neck and having irons around his leg, even though he was in prison and even though the Lord put him in charge. It was still a bad go of it. Let's not misunderstand. And yet his faith enabled him to endure. And she was having a terrible time, but then the Lord started showing her glimpses of where it was going to be. Now, if you would have told Naomi, your great-great-grandchild is going to be King David, and it's going to light up the universe, and the Messiah is going to come out of it. I mean, if you'd have told her everything, she'd probably been like, wow, yeah, okay, let's get through it. But in the moment, she's having a hard time. And she speaks as often we speak, or even in our case, I think it's unspoken because people don't want to think that God's going to, you know, strike you with lightning. But God in his mercy always demonstrates himself faithful. It's just not based on our schematic of what faithful is. It's not based on our interpretation of how we think it should fly. It's not based on what we think should be the next step. Because God, and we've talked about this before, God sees the end from the beginning. He knows this direction. He knows what's got to take place in order to get to where it's got to get to. We don't. And it's like, okay, well, then we trust. It starts off in Ruth. I read you Ruth 1, 19 through 21. Here's Ruth 4, 14 through 15. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who's not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May you also be a restorer. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is better than having seven sons, having given birth to him. And this, so all of this comes about, and it turns from I'm totally empty, I'm totally depressed, I'm totally discouraged, to I'm blessed. Why? Because God brought it that direction. And even if he has allowed yuck in your life, there is blessing to come. And you're allowed to say thank you ahead of time because it's better than stewing in the misery, which will only bring you down. All right, I'm going to take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you.
And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really. Drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave. I got nothing to
say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I think, well, there it is. Oh, there it goes. To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I don't think I've gotten used to this headset yet. So that's why I spent $25 to get one similar to Lefty so that I could go back to that. But we'll figure it out. Let's see. Here's our next trivia question. Kind of a simple one, but it'll be followed by a much tougher one. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? And yes, it is a book in the Old Testament. If you start looking for the Book of Hezekiah, you will not find a book because there's no Hezekiah was a king in Israel. And yeah, I did that at a church service where I said, turn in your Bibles to Hezekiah. And all these people were going, flip, 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 flip. And I said, you're just going to keep flipping all day because there is no book of Hezekiah. Isn't that mean? All right, it's a little mean. So that's the trivia question. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? Okay, all right. All right, so we have a couple things. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget, hemustincreaseministry.org. I don't know what happens now if you type in. We still have our little app program that you can get in the Google. It's not in the Apple one, but it's in Google. So if you type in He Must Increase, there's an app. It's a free app. Just gives you a chance to listen. Plus, it has a couple of photos. Plus, it tracks every movement you have and reports it to the government. Oh, I'm kidding. I wrote the app. It doesn't do anything. It tells you how to listen to the show. It's rather simple. All right, we have somebody calling in on the trivia question. We'll get to that. We'll do the history, and then we'll get to the next teaching, unless they're ordering a pizza. Are they here for trivia? Looks like they are. So here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave. This is Al again.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, my friend. So this isn't a tough one. But it's a good one because I think people don't recognize how valuable Lamentations is. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations?
It is a tough one. I'm going to throw out Nehemiah.
Nope, that's really close. Wait. Big prophet, really long, kind of followed Isaiah.
Big prophet.
Who follows Isaiah?
I'm going to have to. Okay. I have to say I'm not sure on this one.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's the big thing. Jeremiah was the one who wrote Lamentations plus the book of Jeremiah. So Isaiah wrote Isaiah. And did you say Jeremiah or did you say Nehemiah?
I was about to say, yeah, didn't I say Jeremiah?
If you said that, I misunderstood because I thought you said Nehemiah.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't say it. I said Nehemiah.
That's all right. But I think you were thinking Jeremiah.
Sure, yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I love it. That's right. So, yeah, he wrote that. And, you know, there's a lot in there that's amazing. But one of those great, you know, that great, great passage in there, the mercies of God, they're new every morning. And it's like, how many times have we known that you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, here we go. God's given me grace and mercy all over again.
Amen.
That's a powerful, powerful portion in that book. And I love that you just called and did that. That's what you should do. And that's how you learn it. And I guarantee in the future somebody says to you, Lamentations, you're going to go, Jeremiah.
That's right. You got that right. Either that or I'll say Nehemiah again. It's like, oh, I forgot, Jeremiah.
Excellent job. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you, man.
All right. God bless. All right. See, I love that, though. That's still fun. You get to it, and now you know. So watch if I say to T right now, hey, T, who wrote Lamentations?
Nehemiah.
That's wrong. Jeremiah, you did that on purpose. I know you did that on purpose. All right, here we go. Did we do history? We didn't do history. Let's do history. Let's do history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, kind of limited in history today, just in case you're wondering. Is this one of those fantastic history days? No.
That's my answer.
It's do something nice day, but kind of that should be every day. I don't know how. I mean, if you just thought to yourself every day, I'm going to do two things nice today, it would be make it nice for everybody else. That's a good idea. Number two, it's National Apple Betty Day. I had to actually look that up to see what that was because I kind of really didn't know. But it's kind of like an apple dessert. It's got crumbs in it instead of, I guess, the other stuff. It happened to be Ronald and Nancy Reagan's favorite dessert in the White House. They had that at the White House more than anything else, which is like, wait a minute. You get to the White House, you get to pick whatever dessert you want, then you get it whenever you want.
I want to be president.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong business. I got to change this. World Teachers Day. I love my teachers. My professors are the greatest. I think they're some of the smartest.
There's only one teacher that I
would not say that about. You know, you always, I'm not going to say anything bad. Just this one, just like, man, you should be like, you know, a data programmer. Anyhow, and then it's World Architecture Day. I have nothing. I don't know what to say about that. What I did think was cool was this. So there's always these little things. The first airplane shot down by another airplane happened on this day in 1914. A German plane shot down a French pilot. I did not know that. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm like, really? And then on this day in 1947, the first White House address is televised, given by Harry Truman. So that just shows you all the stuff that's going on. All right. I was going to teach this softer thing, but I'm not going to teach this little tougher thing because their time is shorter and I don't want to spend as much time on it. All right. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this get along coexist. For those that are around when the riots took place in L.A., like myself, you know, there was some of the statements, you know, can't we all just get along? Which, by the way, was a good statement. So there's no knock on that whatsoever. But the trouble is that people that claim to be tolerant are not tolerant. And then the people that claim they didn't need to be tolerant have never been tolerant. And you can never figure out, well, why is the world in such a way that we can't all just be on, you know, some kind of medicine and everybody just chill out? I mean, you kind of wonder that from time to time because it does seem like people get really uppity a lot more than they should. The problem there is that people have not been getting along for the beginning of time for mankind to now. And if you want to be really honest about it and get into angelology and demonology, there's the strong likelihood that certain angels, which many people think when they rebelled or if they rebelled with Lucifer and then became demons, I think it's pretty plain to see if you believe that theology, and there's nothing wrong with believing that, many people do, that the angels didn't get along. So the angels didn't get along. The people don't get along. not everybody pulls a Cain on Abel at, you know, action, but I'm just saying the not getting along thing has been going on for, I don't know, ever since sin entered the world and Adam looked at Eve and said, she did it. You know, it's like, I think that's kind of how it all started. Sin entered in, and then division within humanity was just inevitable. The idea that we can all coexist and everybody's a child of God, and it's all about peace, love, and flower power, that philosophy really took its heyday in the 60s from the drug culture. So I think you should understand philosophically that's not genius. Here's what Jesus said, John 5:17. But Jesus responded to them. Over 30 times in the Gospels alone do we read in the Greek, but Jesus responded to them. But Jesus responded to them. I mean, they would say something was wrong, and Jesus would go, wrong. This is this. This is this. This is this. See, Jesus did not just get along. He did not just coexist with several groups. And into one group, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Boy, that is not getting along. I'm just saying. It's all about where people are spending eternity. And true love, real love, is warning people of possible impending disaster, even if it's not popular or loved or appreciated by society. In other words, when you tell people about Jesus Christ and you tell people about hell, when you tell people about rebellion against God and they get mad at you because you just told them about hell, you're loving them just by telling them the truth, even if they don't appreciate it. Doesn't matter. Because if nobody tells them, how are they going to know? But as it is, everybody will be told. You see, here's the big issue. You can't live for the praise of men. And Jesus wasn't quiet like a mouse, and he wasn't a pacifist. If you've ever read Jesus at the temple, that didn't work out. But there's no violence that's encouraged in Christianity, and that mindset's it's terrible. Well, we're Americans, and we believe in God, so violence is okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. All right? We have a weapon called truth. It's not who argues the best. It's simply declaring the truth. It doesn't matter if you have an argument with somebody and you lose it as a Christian. That doesn't matter. You want to know why? Because if you're using scripture, that's the truth. You're using the only thing that will last 1,000 more years. Even science will fall on its face before the truth runs out. So my point to you is this. You're not always going to get along, and everybody's not going to get along, and that is the way it's going to be, whether you like it or not, and that's going to happen to the trumpet until the trumpet blows. And the reality check is that you and I have one weapon, quote-unquote, that we use, and that weapon is truth. And we don't have to salt it. We don't have to shape it. You don't have to make it fit into somebody's anything. You just declare it and know it. God backs up the truth. You just have to share it. The Lord will take care of the rest of it. And even if you're the nicest person in the world, there's going to be people that don't like you because you love Jesus. Hey, you know what? That's the way it goes. That's just how it is. All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. I promise the very last segment will be really flowery and nice, kind of. All right, not really. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking. Prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know His word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, you can always go to livinginhisgrip.com to get some of our free music from September and Glenn. No charge whatsoever under the Hymn Project. Appreciate their love and their support. They've been with us. I mean, it's kind of cool for us. We've done the radio. It's like a year and a half, whatever. And I told you, and we've had family's been there the whole time. You got always people that always, you know, boo, boo kind of thing. It's like, you do what you do. You do what you think the Lord has called you to do, and you hope it's a blessing for people, and we appreciate that people have blessed us, and we've had a chance to bless them. We think that part's cool. All right, last trivia question. How many elders did Moses appoint to help him share the load in dealing with the children of Israel? So there was this portion where the Lord said, I'm going to have to pour out my spirit on other people. How many people was that? That's the question that's for you. The simplicity, 214-210-8483. If you want to text, 972-445-0770. If you want to call, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, just got a report from my daughter. My grandson's doing a little better, so keep the prayers going. I'd appreciate it. Also, a quick shout-out to Chris and to Renee from The Bucket Ministry, something we want to keep in the mind of people, www.thebucketministry.org. They have a fantastic system on getting drinking water, which, you know, you and I, we don't think of that. You turn the sink on. Right? You can't do that. In some of these tribes and some of these groups, they go miles. They fill up all these pails of water, and all those pails of water are dirt, and they bring them home, and they have to boil them in order to drink it. So you and I were just, like, clueless. When Billy Graham said, when it ever talks about the rich man in the Bible, he said, if you live in America, you are the rich man. It's like, okie dokie. He's not wrong. That's right. He's right. All right. So the trivia question, how many people did Moses appoint to help him share the load of dealing with the children of Israel? It's a good question. Tough question, I think. In the meantime, we'll do this short little teaching in honor of Ray being Israel, one of Israel's 50 top 50 evangelical friends. So we give our hats off to Pastor Ray and really hope you get his book this day, which has been a blessing for a ton of people. So I think that's great. Okay, ready? Ready? Did we miss anything? All good? Okay. You still awake? Okay. All right. Still just making sure you're awake. Okay, here he is. When grace is tangible, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. This is from Ray's book. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as is discovered in the Hebrew language, is far more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he used the word chanan, which adds a new layer to our understanding. Chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his child. There's even more to this picture. The root word from Chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, camp, dwell, or to rest in a tent. This is more, listen to what's being written, this is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses. He will come and live with, dwell with, camp out with whomever he chooses, even when it makes no sense to anyone else. Even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us. Certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and to live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell among us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. In an act of great love, Jesus bent down from heaven to lay down his life and show us eternal life in human form. He came to redeem us and to join us in the trials of life. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He comes down to our level. He will be gracious even to us. And that is amazing grace. The whole premise of what Ray wrote is understanding that an infinite God taking action is often beyond a finite person to comprehend. You and I talk, and I think we have pretty decent exchanges, and T and I will talk, or I'll say something back to her, or I'll say something to my wife, or I'll teach something, or I'll teach at a church, whatever the case may be. And that's pretty decent engagement because we're on the same level. It's not like something that's, you know, it's not, you know, brilliant and then, oh my goodness, is this. It's more all of us on a collectively getting together and then supporting one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another. There's a couple people that have a high level of brilliance, but there's not a lot of them, and most of them aren't very fun to hang around. Let's just be honest about it. But God is like, he's infinite, and yet he makes himself accessible. So what you got to get is that God's like a trillion times smarter, higher, larger, wiser, better than all other people, but he brings himself to a touch-to-touch basis with you and I. And if you really try to understand it, and I've used this example before, and please don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to insult anybody. But, you know, we have this love that we have for, like, our animals or for people. And it's like we're a superior race and we're superior beings and they're just dumb little dogs or dumb little cats or birds or fish or whatever. And it's like the difference between God and us is so much greater than the difference between you and I and our pets. It's not funny. But yet, we have this sense of compassion and touch with our animals that we keep around our home. Well, God has that deeper heart for those that are made in his image. It's just like, I guess God loves you. And you didn't earn it. You know? I mean, just to be honest, I can only use Levi as my great example. But I mean, Levi, well, in his case, he was the one of 12 puppies. He was the runt of the litter. He was the only one that was colored all wrong because he came out completely the wrong color for the type of dog he was. And he's the one we wanted. And he's been a part of our lives for 10 years. Although, albeit the whole bed thing probably should have been done differently. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. But my point is, we love that. We love him. Right? I mean, we love him. Now, God's love for us supersedes that by 1,000. Just think of that. That's amazing grace. You know what he wants? Get this. This will blow your mind. Ready? You know what he wants? You. That's what he wants. He's just not going to force it. You got to willingly come. Willingly enjoin, willingly connect. If you do, it's unbelievable. You know, there's people out there that are just, you hear about this church stuff and this Jesus stuff, and I just don't get it. And it's like, you know what? I think if anybody was really honest, if they were genuinely honest, except for Jesus, everybody on the planet, they don't get it either. They're just honest. But man, when you connect with the Lord, it's like another life. It's like another sphere of being. And what it turns out to be is the very thing that you are longing for deep in your heart. That answer is your creator. And his love for us, very radical. Do you think anybody would ever love you that much? I don't think people love me now that way. But the way that God loves me, that's how he loves you. Now, isn't that... That's amazing grace. Receive that. You don't earn it. You receive it. All right? Okay. All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.